What we had last night is a Labor populist budget issued by a Conservative government that's lost its way and its ticker. I will, for those of you that may have missed Alan's earlier words, replay for you what he had to say a bit earlier today at the start of his program. In fact, I might do it right now, just to set the tempo before I speak to Matthias Cormann, the Minister for Finance. So, and normally Alan runs his race and I run mine, but I was sitting in my office this morning listening to him, and this is what we have to deal with.
I don't mean to be uncharitable, but in last year's budget, Scott Morrison said, quote, "This is not a time to be splashing money around or increasing the tax burden on our economy or hard-working Australians and their families. Such policies are not a plan for jobs and growth. They simply put our successful economic transition at risk." Now, there are a million papers released on Budget Day. None of them, in my opinion, was as important as a document released last night. No mention was made of this in the budget speech. The document is headed Directions Relating to Commonwealth Borrowing. And it says, "I, Scott John Morrison, Treasurer of the Commonwealth of Australia, give this direction under Section 51JA of the Commonwealth Inscribed Stock Act 1911. And under a subheading, Commonwealth Borrowing, it says, "The Commonwealth can borrow to meet budgetary needs, and it can also borrow for policy purposes." It then says this, quote, "Pursuant to Section 51JA, subsection 2 of the Act, I direct that the maximum total face value of stock and securities that may be on issue is $600 billion. This direction replaces the previous direction made under Section 51JA of the CIS Act, Commonwealth Inscribed Stock Act, of December 11, 2013, which is repealed, dated this 9th day of May, 2017. In the last budget speech, as I said, Morrison said this is not a time to be splashing money around or increasing the tax burden. Here we now have increased the borrowing limit to the frightening level of $600 billion. When the Labor Party were last in power, in 2012, that was their last budget, Kevin Rudd was being ridiculed by the coalition. The debt ceiling was $75 billion. The debt ceiling is now $600 billion as of last night. The average annual increase in debt under Labor was $36 billion a year. Under the coalition now, it is more than $60 billion a year, average increase in debt. Or put another way, gross government debt when Tony Abbott came to power in September 2013 was $274 billion. More than $200 billion has already been added to that debt, and now the statutory debt limit has had to be altered again.
That was Alan earlier this morning talking about what happened last night, and it's a concern to all of us. We have the Federal Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann, on the line now. Senator Cormann, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning to your listeners.
You've heard Alan from much earlier this morning and no doubt heard about his interview with the Prime Minister. Why do we need to lift that debt ceiling to $649 billion yesterday?
Well, we know what the funding requirements of the federal government are over the next 4 years, and obviously in order to provide certainty to financial markets and provide certainty to the market generally that the government can continue to operate, that was what needed to be done. Let me just say, though, that when we came into government, we didn't just inherit like a situation at one point in time. We inherited a forward trajectory. The previous Labor government had locked into legislation spending growth, which locked in growth in debt. Now, the debt situation today is lower than what it would have been if we had not legislated a whole series of spending reductions, which over the current medium term, that is the 10 years to 2027-28, come to more than $250 billion in net spending reductions that we have legislated. If it hadn't been for that, debt over the next 10 years would be $250 billion higher. But instead, you know, this is $250 billion that we either do not have to borrow or that we can use to pay down debt once we get back into surplus from 2020-21 onwards.
But that, well, that surplus is $7 billion, is it not?
Well,
it's a long way short of $600 billion.
The surplus in 2021 is projected to be $7.4 billion, and we are projected to be in surplus all the way through 2027-28. And, you know, net debt, government net debt, which is the most important indicator, is expected to peak as a share of the economy at 19.8% next year, and is expected to go down to 8.5% as a share of the economy by 2027-28.
But would you not agree, in simple terms, and we've been through this 100 times, the Howard Costello government inherited debt of somewhere between 96 and 100 billion. When they finished their terms of government, they returned surpluses to the incoming Labor government of around $22 billion. I mean, we're now talking telephone numbers, not all that far down the track. I mean, $75 billion, as Alan just enunciated, was what the ceiling was when Kevin Rudd announced that he needed $75 billion. Then it goes to $200 billion. Then it goes to $475 billion, and now it's up to $600 billion. Now, you're talking about 2028, when you and I probably won't be in a position to comment on this in any way, shape or form. But what do we leave our children and grandchildren? I mean, it's insurmountable. It's like that sleep you have when you start to count to a billion and you never get there.
Well, firstly, it's a very fair question. And of course, the reason we have made such a big effort in bringing spending growth down the reason we are making such a big effort to get back into surplus as soon as possible is because it is irresponsible for us to keep borrowing from our children and grandchildren to pay for our day-to-day living expenses today. It is also true that the Howard government left in 2007 a very strong budget position with a strong surplus, with money in the bank. But you know, the Rudd and Gillard Labor governments increased spending in two significant ways. Firstly, in the context of the GST, they increased spending by 17% in real terms above inflation in their first 2 years. That was said to be crisis-level spending in response to the GFC, but that became the new base from which spending continued to increase. And then, as they knew that they were about to lose, they locked into legislation spending growth and spending promises in relation to schools, in relation to the NDIS, in relation to state and territory hospitals, which were not funded, which were essentially going to blow out the debt and deficits by much more than what has actually happened, given that we've been able to get spending better under control. When we came into government, spending as a share in the economy was heading for 26.5%. We have brought that down in this budget to 25% over the forward estimates, which is back to which is back quite close to the long-term average of about 24.8%.
But wouldn't you be concerned? I watched Chris Bowen, the Shadow Treasurer on Sky News this morning. He was, you know, not super critical and said that he would support the vast majority of things that were proposed last night, or the opposition would. Aren't you concerned that Labor is fairly happy with your budget? Would that not indicate that it is a budget that a Labor Party was more likely to produce than a Conservative government?
Well, the thing is, I mean, we've tried very hard to get all of our spending cuts through the Parliament. We've got a fair chunk of them through, as I've said before. Yeah. But there's about $14.7 billion worth of spending reductions that the Senate clearly wasn't going to pass. Now, you know, if we had just left that on our books, it would have been rather irresponsible because, you know, the budget would have continued to deteriorate because we weren't able to get the budget repair measures through the Parliament that we kept on our books. So, you know, if you can't get the budget back into balance through spending cuts because the Parliament doesn't let you do it, then the only other way you can do it, sadly, is through tax increases. That wasn't our first choice, but it was the only responsible course of action in the circumstances.
Would you be talking to the cynics who say that this is all about the news polls that your government's lost and that all of a sudden, maybe, just maybe, those people who wouldn't normally vote for you will be a little more compliant, and the next year's poll won't be 12 in a row heading towards the 30 that Mr. Abbott lost, but it'll all of a sudden be 11 lost and 1-1.
Well, let me tell you, like, every single day, what we think about is how we can put Australia on the strongest possible foundation for the future. And budgets are about making choices for the future. It's about making the choices that we believe will put the country on the best foundation and the best trajectory for the future. Now, of course, you know, in the lead up to the next election, we will present ourselves to the Australian people. We hope that they will give us a tick of approval for our performance and for the plan that we take to the next election. But you know, when it comes to budgets, and I mean, this is not a partisan statement. I mean, I believe that all governments, when they work through the budget and all of the information in front of them, what we think about very deeply is how we can make the right decisions for our country.
Okay. You'll be happy to know that Tony Abbott will be on the program next Monday commenting on the budget with me. Given that I gave him the opportunity to discuss with me and my listeners your discussions with him, I'll now give you the right of reply. Did you cop a dressing down and did you give a dressing gown back? Did you shirt front him, Matthias, or not?
Look, I don't normally talk about private conversations.
No, well, I hope you don't.
But I have, given the conversation you had with him in which I saw those reports, we did have a very direct conversation. I did remind him that we'd had private conversations prior to that about my views about how he can best contribute to the coalition's efforts. And, I certainly did not step back in any way from, what I said earlier this year. Very loyal supporter of the Abbott Prime Ministership. I was there supporting Tony Abbott from the day he became leader all the way till the last moment.
So you were loyal until it counted when you had to vote for Mr. Turnbull.
I voted for Tony Abbott. That's
did
part
you?
Of public
okay.
record. I walked out of the party room with Tony Abbott after he lost.
A couple of other people did too, but I don't think they voted for him, Matthias.
It's a matter of public record, let me assure you.
I don't disbelieve you.
When Malcolm Turnbull became the Prime Minister, I accepted appointment in his cabinet, and I'm a loyal team player, and I do the best I can in my job every single day.
Okay. Will there be a man hug sometime down the track?
I'm going to be catching up with Tony at a function tonight, looking for
him. Oh, good. Well, maybe you could just give him one of those bromance man hugs we see from time to time from the footballers.
I'll tell him that I'm acting on your recommendation.
Yeah, please do. I mean, please do. And get a photo of it and send it to me.
That sounds good. All righty, mate.
Thanks for your time.
Good to talk to you, Ray.
Matthias Cormann, the Senator and Minister for Finance.